Right now, there are a number of political candidates who, for quite some time, have been making rather large claims about themselves. I'm the one who can get the economy going. I'm the one who can defend our nation. But all these claims that these people make, or anybody has made or is making, they pale in comparison to Jesus' claim in John 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. When we hear that claim, it might send a shiver down our spine, or it might invigorate us, or we might not know exactly what Jesus means by saying that about himself. Well, on this Easter morning, we are going to dig into these words of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Let's pray together. Let's wait till the screen goes up and then I'll pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you that your Holy Spirit opens our eyes to your truth. And Lord, we ask that you would do that this morning, that our eyes would be open to who Jesus says he is in these words right here. Open our eyes, Lord. Draw us in closer so we better know you and we better understand and worship you with our lives. Glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus said these incredible words about himself in a specific context, and that context helps us understand what he means. It surrounds the death of a friend named Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was very sick. And when Jesus heard this, he didn't go rush off to go and be with Lazarus. Instead, verse 4 tells us that he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this. And then he stayed where he was for 2 more days. 2 more days he stayed where he was. And after those 2 days, he says to his disciples, let's go to Judea. That was the area where Lazarus lived. And that's pretty wild because in verse 14, we find that Jesus knew Lazarus was dead. But back in verse 4, he said Lazarus' sickness would not end up in death, but that God would be glorified. So something big was going on here. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what he was going to do. So Jesus arrives at this home of Martha and Mary 4 days after Lazarus has died. And of course, his body is already buried in a tomb. And as Jesus is approaching their house, Martha heads out on the road and meets him out there. And she said to him, oh Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Which sounds like a mixture of disappointment, but with faith in there. Like she wishes that Jesus would have been there, because if he would have been there, he would have kept his brother, or their brother, from dying. And verse 22 sounds more like words of faith coming from Martha. She said to Jesus, even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Now that sounds like she's saying, you know, Jesus, even now, with Lazarus being dead, God will raise him from the dead if that's what you want. But actually, that doesn't fit this passage, because after Martha had said, even now, God will give you whatever you ask, right after saying that, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. But her response in verse 24 is, there's no hint that Martha thinks that Jesus will physically raise him from the dead right now. Here's how Martha responded. I know that he will rise again on the resurrection of the last days. So she's like, yeah, Lazarus will rise at some point in the future when everyone else will rise from the dead, but not now. Then, but not now. There's no hint of thinking physical resurrection now. Also in verse 39, There's no hint of this kind of faith. They're standing at the tomb, and Jesus asked for the stone to be rolled away, and Martha's like, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he's been dead for 4 days. He's dead. Don't open the tomb. It stinks. So Martha believed Jesus could have healed the sick Lazarus, but from this passage, it doesn't look like she was thinking of a rising from the dead that day at all. That wasn't a part of her thinking. So going back to verse 22, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. That's probably more of Martha's recognition that Jesus could do something for the family in their grief. Nothing more than that. But raising Lazarus from the dead that day is exactly what Jesus was thinking and planning on. He's not consoling her like the other mourners were doing. Hey, take heart, be strong. Lazarus will rise again at some point in the future, in the end of times. He wasn't doing that. He was talking about now resurrection. And that's when he makes this huge declaration about himself, which brings together all kinds of truths about God. And I love the buildup that Jesus has to his declaration. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whew. He is saying, hey, that resurrection on the last day, I'm the one that will do that, and I'm here right now. Let's go visit your brother's grave. That's awesome. Awesome. You know, prior to this scene, Jesus has already said that at the end of time, he is the one who raises the dead bodies of God's children and reunites them with their spirit, which is all a part of Jesus renewing all creation, bringing in the new heaven and the new earth. And he has also shown that he is the one who gives life. Life to water, making it into wine. New spiritual life in Nicodemus. Springs of living water flowing from this Samaritan woman. Life to a dying boy. Life to a paralyzed man. Life to a blind man. The good shepherd giving life in the fullest. He brings resurrected life, deathless life, the very life from God, never-ending living water to be had right here and right now. Jesus brings physical and spiritual life that leads to eternal life. And that's what he gets into in verses 25 to 26. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Believing in Jesus is surrendering to him, repenting of sin, dying to the old way of living. That old Edgar is dead, the new Edgar is alive. I believe in Jesus and I died, yet now I am truly alive in Christ. And verse 26, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Everyone who is alive in Christ will never die. They have eternal life. Eternal life cannot be touched by physical death. I believe in Jesus. The old me is dead and gone. The new me is alive in Christ, possessing eternal life. So with Martha, he's like, I'm the one who will raise the dead to life on the last day. I'm the one who has come to bring life in abundance, to make people spiritually alive, to save them from their sin. I am the resurrection and the life. He's trying to get Martha to clue in that if he can raise the dead at the end of time, if he can raise the spiritually dead to life, he has the authority right now to physically raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is personalizing resurrection and eternal life. He is the one who provides both at the end of time, but also right now. spiritually, physically, he's got it. Jesus gives resurrection, and he is resurrection. Jesus gives life, and he is life. Resurrection, eternal life, they do not exist outside of Jesus. He is resurrection and life. Physical death, spiritually dead, doesn't have the final say. It doesn't have the final say in this scene with Lazarus either. Resurrection and life, here he is. And he displays this identity to all those witnesses by calling Lazarus out of the tomb, resurrecting him from the dead, and giving him life. That's who Jesus is. Resurrection and life. And not only is the raising of Lazarus a display of Jesus' identity, it's a foreshadow, a preview, and an acted out parable of Jesus being the resurrection and life. The first one, the raising of Lazarus, is a foreshadow of Jesus' own death and resurrection. Jesus will be dying, physically dying, within weeks of this scene with Lazarus. And it's a real death, not pretend, not a trick. Jesus died at the hands of professional soldiers, professional killers who knew when a person was dead. His dead body was wrapped up and put into a grave by people who knew what a dead body was. But he is the resurrection and the life. He has authority over death and the grave, and he rose from the dead. He took all the wrath and punishment that we deserve because of sin. He took all that punishment on himself. He died, was wrapped up in burial clothes, was buried in a tomb with a stone rolled in front of it, and raised himself from the dead, victorious over sin and death, because he is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life cannot be overpowered. That cannot be overthrown, or he cannot fail. Lazarus's death was a foreshadow of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory over sin and death. And number two, the raising of Lazarus was a preview of the resurrection at the end of time. Dead Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus and came to life. Jesus spoke to a corpse, tells it to come out of the tomb, and the life of Lazarus came back into his corpse. There he was not a zombie. There was no spirit mix up with a different spirit going into Lazarus's corpse. There was no long speech or specific words given by Jesus. Jesus just says, "Lazarus, come out," and boom, his spirit goes back into his body. He's alive and he comes out. And he had to rise from the dead because the resurrection and the life told him to. He had to come out. And that is what he is going to do. He is going to make happen at the end of time. 1 Corinthians 15. There we find that Jesus will raise the dead bodies of his children and join them with their spirits from heaven that are already in heaven. And this is all part of his renewing of the creation into the new heavens and the new earth. And here with the raising of Lazarus, we get a preview. We get a preview of that day that's coming. We see the resurrection and the life in action. Amazing. And lastly, number three, the raising of Lazarus is an acted out parable of salvation in Christ. People being brought from spiritual death to spiritual life by Jesus Christ. We were hopelessly dead, spiritually rotting in our sin, stinking through and through, wrapped up in our sin. And in that condition, Jesus called us out of death, out of the tomb, Edgar, come out. Come to me. And he opened my eyes to his truth of who he is and who I am, and how in him alone I am saved through his death and resurrection. And when he opened my eyes to his truth, I repented of my sin, of my rejection of him as God, and my insistence that I am greater than him, that I am God. I repented from that and put my faith and belief in him as God and surrendered to him. And he made me alive, spiritually alive in Jesus Christ, able to come before the holy God as his child, not receiving judgment, but love and his power in my life working for good and life forever with him. Only Jesus resurrects people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Only Jesus. Because he is the resurrection and the life. This scene of bringing Lazarus back to life is amazing, because here Jesus displays his identity as the resurrection and the life, yet at the same time, it is a foreshadow to Christ's death and resurrection. It's a preview of the final resurrection of the dead at the end of time, and an acted out parable of our own salvation in Christ, resurrected from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive in Christ. Now we are going to celebrate communion this morning. But this next part is very important. So those of you that are going to be serving communion, make please come on up and get yourself ready. And those who, the rest of us, please don't be distracted by this, but stick with me, okay? Stick with me. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Okay? He displayed it by raising Lazarus from the dead, by raising millions of people to spiritual life, which includes you and I, right? We're part of who God has made spiritually alive through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. He holds the power to forgiveness of sin, to right relationship with God, which is truly what every single person is craving. We are only satisfied when we are with the Lord, when we are worshiping the Lord. We try putting other things in front of it, like a new job, a new house, or a relationship, or money, or this, or identity, or reputation. We try everything we can to meet that satisfaction, and none of it works, because we are only satisfied. Our longings and our desires are only fulfilled when we are found, when we are worshiping the one we were created for, and that is the Holy God. Do you know Jesus as the resurrection and the life? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to take away your personal sin, sin that blocks you from God? Have you been brought into a father-child relationship with the Holy Lord only through Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then maybe today could be the day of salvation for you. Today, right now, being changed from spiritually dead into being spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of you have been coming to church for a while and you have never repented or surrendered. Let today be that day. If you hear God saying, that's you, if you have this heaviness, your heart is racing. You have this desire to give up today and embrace Jesus Christ. Then today, come forward to one of our elders who are sitting right there. There's two of them right there. Today, if you have this, you sense the Holy Spirit tugging at you and saying, yes, today is the day. Today is the day. Then come forward and pray with one of our elders. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let another moment pass you by. Don't let another Easter come and go, and you're still separated from the Lord who loves you. Come to one of these elders. Repent and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness and salvation today. We are all going to come forward for communion. There's going to be others standing and coming forward for communion. And you do it how we normally do. But if you hear that the Holy Spirit tugging on you this morning and you're saying, today I want to know that I am made right with the Lord through Jesus Christ. Today I want to know that I am resurrected from the dead and I am brought into eternal life, that is my guarantee. Then you go see the elders while we're taking communion. All right? We're going to start communion right now with the two outside sections. And when the middle lineup goes down, then the middle section, please come forward. But come up now and receive communion and receive salvation if that is you.